Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a leg! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, the show still exists. And this isn't going to be one of those things where I start to introduce the show and we get cut off by an Oregon basketball game or a Seahawks game, or I show up to the office and realize, oh my gosh, there's something going on like the Les Schwab Invitational and there's no show.
The next hour is yours, brother.
This is a real show, and it's only our second one, I think, since October.
Yikes!
As I looked at it, we had one show in November. I don't think we had a single show in December other than our like 45-second hiccup. So we have a lot to get to, a ton to get to. And I don't know if there's any better way to do it than to kind of take a look at, one, what's left on the board for both Oregon and Oregon State. We have to take a look at that. But also, recapping signing day. And I can give you a little bit of insight outside of just here's who they signed. We can kind of get into the nuts and bolts of Oregon and Oregon State's recruiting classes. And I think this week, really following signing day, there was the All-American Bowl, and I think we got a pretty good glimpse of the give and take for both Oregon and Oregon State. I think that game pretty perfectly encapsulated what we've saw from Oregon. Oregon went into the last little bit of signing period with Dante Moore. Would he go to Michigan State? No, that was never going to really happen. But there was a possibility of some other schools jumping in because there was money floating around at a number of places. Could a school make a run? And it turned out that school was not an Ohio State, was not a Texas A&M, was not Miami. That school ended up being UCLA. And what an absolute statement for the Bruins and Chip Kelly. This is a program that finished 11th or 12th in recruiting a couple years ago and really has been abysmal. I mean, there's no other word for it. They've been abysmal recruiting. They're in L.A. And, you can say, recruiting doesn't matter a ton. And it absolutely does. It matters. You have to recruit well. And if you're in L.A., there's absolutely no excuse for not being a top 4 or 5 recruiter in the Pac-12 every year. Particularly given that the Pac-12 of the Power 5 conferences is one of the worst recruiters conference-wide of the Power 5. It's not that hard. Now, to be in the top 4 in the SEC, you have to finish in the top 7 or 8 in the country. To be in the top 4 in the Pac-12, you probably have to make the top 32. I mean, some years there are 1 or 2 teams in the top 25 in the Pac-12 in the recruiting rankings. So it's not that big a ask for UCLA to end up with a top 4 or 5 recruiting class, and they had a stretch there where it was 9th, 10th, 12th, 11th. They moved to the Big Ten, and so they need to make a statement. And not only do they get a five-star quarterback, but they get a five-star quarterback that Michigan offered as an eighth grader who is from Michigan. And oh yeah, by the way, in the All-American Bowl was openly on social media from prominent college football folks drawing comparisons to Patrick Mahomes as he threw for four touchdown passes. It doesn't get much better than that. Chip Kelly has a four-year play thing at quarterback who is phenomenal. And not just that he's a great passer, but also he played for a school with a not very good offensive line. He is very used to throwing off platform, not having time to throw, having to make adjustments to get to his second and third read. And when he's committed to Oregon, I said, I hate saying this, but he's almost bus-proof. And that's what makes Dante Moore so special, is he's almost guaranteed to at least give you pretty good quarterback play. And the ceiling is number one pick in the NFL draft down the road. So Oregon loses him. And you think, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. But it also opened up a whole lot of NIL money. I mean, let's call it like it is. And Oregon was also still in the mix for a number of really talented players. Suddenly, not only did they have some wiggle room to work with, but they also were just in the hunt for a lot of talents. Was that going to be David Hicks, the number one defensive lineman in the country? Was it going to maybe be Caden Proctor, the number one offensive tackle in the country? Well, it turns out it was Mateo Uiagalelei, the number two edge rusher in the country, a five-star prospect. They get Dalen Austin, the four-star corner out of California. They lose Caleb Presley, but most people see that Dalen Austin, at least in their rankings, they have Dalen Austin as a better prospect than Caleb Presley, so not really a loss there. You just kind of pivot. They get Austin Novosad, who himself was an All-American Bowl quarterback and a very good quarterback. I know that he's had his share of struggles in that All-American Bowl, but by all accounts, he's a good quarterback. You flip Jaden Lamarr, a four-star running back who was committed to Notre Dame, and yeah, they lose Dante Moore, but the final haul is pretty impressive. Then you go into the All-American Bowl, and Oregon fans feeling phenomenal. Like, hey, we totally recovered from this. Dante Moore who? And Dante Moore reminds people like, hey, I'm still maybe the best prospect in America. And looks electric. So at the end of the day, you go, good recruiting class for Oregon. Very good recruiting class for Oregon, and we'll get into the class in more depth position by position. But I think this roller coaster ride for Oregon that was this recruiting cycle was perfectly summarized with this, you know, Dante Moore loss, huge signing day lift, and they go, oh yeah, here's what this loss really was. And you go, man, would I trade Austin Novosad, Mateo Uiagalelei, you know, maybe an Ashton Porter, maybe a Jaden Lamarr for Dante Moore? And you go, man, I'd rather have the four or five really good prospects. Nobody's a can't miss. And then you watch him in the All-American Bowl and you go, man, maybe Oregon actually didn't win that essentially what amounts to a trade. It's going to be fascinating to see. And I think that's what a lot of Oregon fans are going to watch. I think when you look at it at the end of this era, this group, when they're done, I think you end up, and the only way to look at it is to weigh essentially what Oregon got that signing day, that last 48 hours of signing day with Dante Moore's career, and saying what's more valuable. And that's how you find out whether it kind of worked out for Oregon or if losing Dante Moore didn't. And we don't know. That's kind of the interesting thing about recruiting. I can give you all the analysis in the world, but at the end of the day, they've got to play the games. And we've seen number one overall prospects be great. Kayvon Thibodeau, phenomenal. And we've seen number one overall prospects kind of fold or certainly not live up to expectations. The All-American Bowl also really did a nice job of summarizing essentially what Oregon State was able to do. And I think Oregon State still has room for improvement as a recruiter. I don't think anyone would argue there. But I think they've done a great job in the portal. They've certainly emphasized the portal kind of over traditional high school recruiting. That's where they're going to do their major moves. That's where potentially they'll do their major and their biggest NIL moves. And we saw that this offseason because DJ Uiagalelei, Mateo Uiagalelei's older brother, the Clemson starting quarterback, transferred to Oregon State. They've got an answer at quarterback. And you look at this team and they're pretty loaded on defense. Their offensive line, not highly recruited, but very well coached by Coach Jim Mihalchik. They've got a number of weapons at receiver. Damian Martinez isn't going anywhere. The true sophomore running back who definitely is going to be an odds-on favorite to be, you know, he'll be a preseason first-team All-Pac-12 guy, and he's got a chance to be an All-American by the time it's all said and done. They've got talent. Where they were let down was the quarterback position, and you can knock DJ Uiagalelei when you talk about him as a former five-star prospect, a former number one overall recruit. But just look at his numbers and compare him to what Oregon State had this year. There's very little question that they're going to upgrade whatever you want to call it, a full letter grade, you want to call it just a significant upgrade, however you want to, you know, equalize that or however you want to dissect that. DJ Uiagalelei is a pretty massive upgrade. So they did their job in the portal, and I think addressing quarterback almost is a wash for everything else. You address quarterback at Oregon State, you're making your team better. Now they're gonna add other pieces, but just that alone is huge for the program. This recruiting class, though, room for improvement. It's not a top 25 class in America, but again, in the modern era, Oregon State's gonna lean transfer portal, and then they'll pick and choose their spots. And really early on in the recruiting cycle, they focused in on Aiden Childs. And we saw some of Aiden Childs' story in that All-American Bowl. He was behind Malachi Nelson, the number one overall prospect, according to ESPN, at Los Alamitos. He transfers to Downey High School and then breaks his arm or breaks his collarbone, has an upper body broken bone that keeps him out of his junior year. Now, I'm not comparing him to this, but when we talk about meteoric rises late after a junior year in which you suffer a broken bone that kind of leaves you under the radar, that's the Justin Herbert story. And they're different players. And I'm not comparing Aiden Childs as a future talent to Justin Herbert. That would be silly. Absolutely silly. But when people talk about where did this guy come from? Well, Justin Herbert was a three-sport athlete. Justin Herbert wasn't the go-to quarterback as a freshman or sophomore. And then he broke his leg as a junior and had this unbelievable senior season. And people went, where the heck did this kid come from? Aiden Childs sits behind Malachi Nelson, transfers. Broken upper, I think it was a broken arm, might have been a broken collarbone, breaks a bone, misses some of his junior year, and then has this senior season that is just absolutely spectacular. And it culminates with him having this phenomenal All-American Bowl, something like 7 of 9, 170 yards. He had an 81-yard touchdown pass where he rolls away from pressure, throws off balance for this long touchdown pass to Mark Fletcher, the elite running back who's headed to Miami. He just finds him out of the flat, kind of leaking out of the flat, and you know, he takes off down the sideline. He hits him, and he's gone. And people are going, Aiden Childs, where'd this kid come from? The number 11 quarterback in the country. Oregon State was on him early. They evaluate early. They get on their guys, find out if they're a fit, and lock them down. And that's what they did with Aiden Childs. They locked him down, said, this is our guy. They landed Kelsey Howard, a defensive lineman, who is the highest-rated high school defensive recruit in the program's history. They got him. He didn't waver. They added other quality three-star developmental pieces and some nice players. Again, we'll get into it in one of the segments, break them down position by position. But a really nice pair of headliners. A quarterback that they identified early, a defensive lineman they identified early, and in both cases, teams made major runs. And for, I think, the third year in a row, while everybody's making runs at Oregon State guys late, they don't post the offers. They don't post that they have, you know, heavy interest. They keep their heads down. They sign with Oregon State. And for the third year in a row, despite major pushes from other programs, Oregon State signs its recruiting class during the early signing period. And I mean this in the very best way possible. It's a ho-hum day. They're not worried about losing four-star guys. They're not waiting to see if being a hat on the table is enough for a highly rated kid that's waiting to the end. They've got the T's crossed and the I's dotted heading into signing day. All it is for them is paperwork. We know where our class is. Let's just sign them and get them locked in. And for what I believe is the third year in a row, they just did it. No major moves, no major additions, no major losses. A good recruiting class that fits their culture. They spent a year doing this homework. Signing day is not the test. Signing day is just a graduation ceremony. And for a lot of programs, and for Oregon this year, Signing day was the test. Signing day was I crammed for this final. Some things didn't go my way. I slept in one day, and it's all down to this. And Oregon did really well. They're two different approaches, but both of them worked extremely well for those two programs. And if you're Oregon State, I don't know how you couldn't be thrilled with Aiden Chiles. I don't know how you can't be doing backflips. You look at that game, and it wasn't just the game where he looked phenomenal. And again, Dante Moore was number one with a bullet. Dante Moore looked transcendent. He looked transcendent. And people said that about his week of practice. But Austin Novosad played for the other team. You know, Lincoln Kleinholz, who was committed to Washington, flipped to Ohio State. He played for the West team. Pierce Clarkson, who played for St. John Bosco. They won a national title. He's headed to Louisville. He played for the West. Chiles was on the East. All those quarterbacks are there. They're all talented. And overwhelmingly, the reports were, yes, Dante Moore was the best. The second best quarterback, not just in that game, but all week, was Aiden Chiles. And what you hear from evaluators all, you know, in the postscript of that game and the week of practice was, Aiden Chiles is going to go up in the rankings. He's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the country. And Oregon State saw it early, knew he was a guy that personality-wise fit, and knew if they got him, they could hang on to him because that's the kind of kid he was. He's a loyal kid. They lock him in. Great job for Oregon State. Oregon, again, kind of crams for that test on the last day, and it ends with Dan Lanning posting today was a good day and smoking a cigar, so he's happy. Two totally different ways to get there and two totally different showcases during the All-American Bowl. But I think both programs very, very happy with their hauls, truly happy with their hauls. I want to get into the depth of it because as much attention as the quarterback position got for Oregon, and maybe it is a letdown in the trade-off from Dante Moore to Austin Novosad, Oregon absolutely crushed it in a massive, massive area of need, not just with elite talent, but also depth. I'll go into that in depth next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Overall recap in the last segment of kind of what went on for Oregon and Oregon State. Two very different approaches to the class of 2023. Oregon State got to know their kids over a full year. They locked them in early and had no fireworks in the best way possible during the early signing period, in the sense they didn't add anybody, they didn't lose anybody, they signed everybody they expected to. There was no wavering, there was no concern. It was just kind of, frankly, easy for them. That is the Coach Smith approach. He just likes to get them signed, sealed, and go into December. Maybe you add a piece if something opens up, but otherwise, you know what you got. You did that, you did your research all year. It was an all-year project, and you're not presenting during the early signing period. You're just graduating. You've already done all the work. Oregon's a little different. Oregon's the test crammer. They test all, you know, they have a basic grade going in. Maybe they have a B going into the early signing period, and then it all comes down to that last final, and they've crammed for it, and how will it go on that last day? A lot of moving pieces. It's the big test, and Oregon tested very, very well in that last day, doing a nice job. I want to go over the class position by position because I think it tells a story, and I think it's important, especially with a fairly young coach. Where is he prioritizing things? Where do things matter? We started at quarterback. Obviously, everybody knows about the Dante Moore situation. I think the writing was on the wall, frankly, as soon as Kenny Dillingham left. That was his key relationship. That was the relationship he really locked in on. And as things progressed nearing the early signing period, UCLA officially locks into the Big Ten. Suddenly, Dante Moore, if he goes to UCLA, is able to play a good chunk of his games, all of his road games, really, within easy travel distance or relatively easy travel distance for his family. Then his home games are at UCLA, so he's away from home. He's in LA, but also gets the best of both worlds. Chip Kelly can frankly sell him on, hey, you know that program up north that's just recruited you? I helped create their Heisman Trophy winner. I helped build that team into what it is. Come do that with me at UCLA. You can like the approach. You cannot like the approach. But the truth is, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It was Dante Moore's call. He's headed to UCLA. Oregon pivots nicely under the radar, hosts Austin Novosad late. Austin Novosad, and I said this heading into the All-American Bowl, that I felt he was essentially one of the top few pocket passers in this class. He's going to give up a lot in terms of just ceiling when it comes to mobility in the pocket. He's not that guy. He's a stand tall kind of old school quarterback. And we saw that in the All-American Bowl because the East D line dominated the West D line. Lincoln Kindholz, who's headed to Ohio State, is really athletic. He's a mover. And so he was able to throw a couple touchdown passes, fleeing for his life, flinging the ball. Novosad's going to sit back there, and if you give him time, he'll pick you apart. He's as talented an arm, as big an arm, as talented a stand-up in the pocket, stand tall, read the defense, find the open guy type quarterback as there is nationally, about as good as there is. But he didn't have time in the All-American Bowl, and you can kind of see all his weaknesses essentially were exposed, which is why he had a really rough game. But I do think he's got a bright future. I actually ended up giving their quarterback grade a B, and I think they deserve credit for scramble mode. They scramble drilled there and did a great job. We can talk about approach in a little more detail at some point, but essentially I think my interpretation, my understanding of the way this went, Oregon went all in on Dante Moore, and I've talked about that they went all in on a five-star quarterback. They had to. They basically said, we have to get one. And Jaden Rashada went elsewhere, and Nico went elsewhere, and obviously Malachi Nelson very early went to USC. And the last guy standing was Dante Moore. Well, Oregon gets him, but at what cost? And if I'm doing evaluation of this class as a whole, one of the things I think has to be talked about, if we're going to be really honest, is I think it's possible they stretch themselves too thin in terms of NIL opportunities early with Dante Moore. He got too big a chunk, and you saw they got Dante Moore, and rather than a Pied Piper effect like we saw with Arch Manning at Texas, where they get Arch and then they got like 9 commitments in the next week, Oregon got Dante Moore and then really didn't get anybody for about 3 months. And I think that was because they stretched themselves too thin. And some of these battles that they could have won with just a little bit of a bump, here's our NIL package coming from, you know, whoever, a collective or whatever, it just wasn't there. And you saw a miss on 6, 7, 8 offensive linemen during that stretch that people predicted they were going to get. And suddenly they weren't going to get them. And you go, what happened? You know, Oregon's supposed to be a closer. We saw in the early signing period, you know, that reputation was warranted. So what happened for those 3 months? And really the only conclusion I can draw is I think NIL kind of jumped up and bit them this year. And I think they mismanaged it, but I think they course corrected really nicely, got their ducks in a row, no pun intended, leading into the last few weeks and did a nice job. Austin Novosad, a nice piece, a top 10 quarterback nationally. Not Dante Moore, but a good quarterback. I love what they did at running back. Dante Dowdell, his stock is skyrocketing. The Mississippi running back, he was just elite this year. He was absolutely dominant this year in high school football in Mississippi, and you saw his stock rise. At one point, he was like a mixed 3-4-star recruit, and now he's a consensus top 10 running back in the country. He's a big bruising back. He's very talented, but he is limited in terms of the spectrum of do everything. He's not going to be able to be that quick 60 yards up the middle, 80 yards up the middle, just quick, see a hole, hit it, and he's gone. So they needed another piece. And I think late in the recruiting process, they went head-to-head with with Notre Dame and some other schools late for Jaden Lamar, the top prospect in the state of Washington, the running back committed to Notre Dame. He was looking at different options. Oregon hosted him a couple times late, and then they were able to flip him late in the process. And Jaden Lamar talked about it, that one of the things he really liked is he is that lightning guy, but he's not the bruising type. And he didn't necessarily feel like he wanted to go to a program where he needed to carry the ball 25 to 30 times a game. He was okay with getting 12 to 15 touches a game and another guy getting 12 to 15 touches. And Oregon just absolutely hammered, you guys are thunder and lightning. And I know Lamar and Dowdell both felt really good about that approach from Oregon. Multiple running backs, a good big O-line in front of them. They get both of those guys, and I don't think there are too many 1-2 punches in the Pac-12 from a recruiting standpoint better than those two. Both 4-star prospects. Dante Dowdell, a borderline, he's a top, I think he's as high as a top 5 running back in the entire country. Jaden Lamar, the number 1 or number 2 running back on the entire West Coast. Just a really nice job there by Oregon. The wide receiver group, just a pair of guys. Jurion Dickey, the 5-star wide receiver. We'll see. He's coming with his brother. I do think that has potential to help him. I said all throughout the recruiting process, watch this carefully. This is not as solid as you may think. I think even with him signed, I would keep an eye on it just to be sure. There have been theatrics along the way throughout and very much behind the scenes, but there's been a lot that's gone on in his recruitment. And from a timeline standpoint, if you're just bullet pointing what he did, he committed to Oregon and then that was kind of it. Behind the scenes, there was a whole lot more going on all the way into the final days of this recruiting process where just there were some head-scratching things going on behind the scenes. He's going to be a fascinating recruit to watch because he is unbelievably talented. Number 2 wide receiver in the country. He is an unbelievable talent. Unbelievable. Physically dominant. He's fast. He's an immense talent, truly. I mean, Oregon hasn't had many players like Jurion Dickey in the history of their program. I just want to watch the way everything plays out in his career. Let's see how it all unfolds. They also get Ashton Kozer, who I like. Big receiver, blazing speed. Every combine measurement he checks. Not an elite route runner yet. Doesn't have the elite hands yet, not an elite package yet as a receiver, but just the measurables are off the charts. He's an Under Armour All-American. He has a chance to be absolutely dominant. He's just raw. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of high school guys who are 6'4 and run like he can are raw because they've been able to just run by you and they're so big, they just catch the ball over you. When he's not going to be able to do that in college, how will he perform? There's a whole route tree to run. He's got to learn that and develop that. But I think he's got a chance to be a really special player. And that's not a knock. His ceiling is insanely high, NFL high. But there's a long way to go from where he is right now to being an NFL receiver. Still, the package is immense. At tight end, Kenyon Sadiq is a phenomenal, phenomenal pass catcher, a great athlete. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Idaho, playing primarily receiver. He's going to slide in and be a really electric, inside tight, jumbo slot / tight end for Oregon. Not going to be a great blocker, never going to be a great blocker, but from a receiving standpoint, he's electric. He's the number 4 athlete in the entire country. Again, that athlete position. And you look at the Northwest this year, and we've had, we've been fortunate with guys like JT Tuimoloau. Next year, Jason Brown is the number 2 running back in the country out of the state of Washington. We've had great prospects here. This was a down year for both Oregon and Washington, and Kenyon Sadiq kind of keeps the Northwest afloat with elite prospects. He was the number 1 player in the Northwest, and, Caleb Presley, I know, was an All-American Bowl selection. Jaden Lamar was an elite running back. But when it comes to just best prospect, just who's the highest rated kid, it was Kenyon Sadiq out of Idaho. So that was a great get for Oregon. I know some people would have loved for them to get Riley Williams, who ended up at Miami. But for Oregon, to get a guy like that, who's got a chance to be a very, very good red zone target and a very sure-handed pass-catching receiver at tight end, that's huge. The offensive line group, I talked about it earlier, you miss on a guy like Dante Moore and you get a guy like Dante Moore, and suddenly, you know, maybe it was NIL, maybe Oregon just thought they had things lined up and they didn't. Oregon at one point had offered 19 offensive tackles out of high school, and they were 0 for 19. So people have criticized my criticism of offensive line recruiting with Oregon. It's a decent group. They got a lot of guys, and we'll see. But from a pure talent standpoint, when a coaching staff, and this is always bothering me, people get mad and they're like, you know, they ended up with this 3-star guy who's really good and they love him. If they loved him that much, he wouldn't have been the 18th guy they offered. And you know, you can develop that guy and they can turn into a great player, but don't tell me the coaching staff got their top players when they offered 19 high school offensive linemen at tackle and didn't get any of them. They didn't get anybody until they started offering 20, 22, 23, 24. Generally speaking, that means you missed on some guys. George Silva is the top guy in this class for Oregon. He's the number one offensive tackle in the country in the junior college ranks. I like him. Good piece. From there, Iapani Laulu, 4-star offensive lineman, an Under Armour All-American, probably going to be an interior guy. Lipe Moala, a big-bodied 3-star offensive lineman. He's from modern day. That might help open up that modern day pipeline. Jeronis Wilson, a 3-star offensive lineman out of Florida. Bryce Booten, a 3-star offensive lineman out of California. They're all big. They're all that 320, 310, 330. They're all huge. But there's a reason they're kind of lower-rated guys. They're developmental pieces. Oregon clearly agreeing to some extent. As I mentioned, missing on so many offensive tackles. They've already, from the transfer portal, got two guys who project as all-conference caliber offensive tackles on both sides. Two of the top offensive linemen in the transfer portal, both headed to Oregon. That will help and also addresses this need. Also, they've got a 4-star offensive lineman, Zach Crater, already in the class of 2024. So they wanted to make sure they address that early and often in 2024. They've started to do that. I'll get to the defensive side of the ball for Oregon next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sounds like we got a couple of questions on the text line. I will get to those in the next segment. Buck, what is the, do we have the text line number?
Checking that now. It should. I believe it is still the same one. You were concerned it might not still be the same number, but I do believe it is 503-250-1080. Perfect. And I've just sent a test to make sure that that is the case.
Okay, we did get a memo a while ago that it was changing.
Mm-hmm. And it was changing.
And that scared me because it was, but apparently it never... It may have not have ever changed.
So. Test confirmed. It is still 503-250-1080.
So disregard that other number I have in my phone that we never launched. Okay. Defensive side of the ball for Oregon. Great job on offense. Good job at running back. Missed along the offensive line. A five-star wide receiver and Jerrion Dickey pivoted from Dante Moore to Austin Nova sad late, which is a nice pivot. It's just... If you saw the All-American Bowl, you may be wondering if Dante Moore isn't the next Patrick Mahomes based on that performance. And you don't have to take my word for that because that's not what I'm saying. But there were a number of tweets from high-profile draft guys, from high-profile college football guys that were like, hey, is this Dante Moore dude like supposed to be the transcendent talent? Because he looks unreal. On the defensive side of the ball, I think this is the number one area because I've been hammering this for the last several years about Oregon. And I've said it, and I don't know why this wasn't a bigger deal. But during the Coach Salavea era at Oregon, Oregon could not recruit defensive linemen. They sucked at it. And the numbers bear that out. There was an advanced analytics group that had a stat for me that was based on your average rating of your recruiting class. Like Alabama's average ranking is like 4.4 stars per recruit. And then what this stat is they break it down by position. If you recruit four-star quarterbacks, but your whole recruiting class is 4.4 stars on average, you essentially are minus 0.4 at that position. If you recruit 3 5-star running backs and the class average is 3.5, you're essentially, and I'm way oversimplifying, you're essentially a plus 1.5, you know, per running back recruit. Oregon's D-line recruiting was the third worst D-line recruiting of any program in the Pac-12 or Mountain West Conference. They were only worse than Hawaii and Washington State. Those were the only two programs in the entire Pac-12 or Mountain West Conference that recruited, or maybe it was WAC. Well, no, WAC is gone. It's Mountain West now. Whatever. That recruited worse than Oregon along the D-line. So what happens in first full year of recruiting outside of Salavea? Oregon crushes it along the D-line. You can count Mateo Uiagalelei as a linebacker if you want to, but at 6'4", 270, I'm guessing he's primarily playing an edge position. Five-star prospect, a top, you know, upwards of top 10 to 20 prospect in America, a big-time get late. Oregon beats out USC and Ohio State for him. You love that. There's your headliner. And then from there, it's just depth, 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 depth. Talent, 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 talent. Amari Washington's a 300-pound defensive lineman out of Arizona. Those guys are hard to find in the West region. They just aren't easy to get. And for the last few years, frankly, Oregon hasn't been able to get them. They've been able to get the 3-star guy that's a massive project, and we'll see. But they have not been able to secure that 300-pound blue-chip guy. Amari Washington, come on down. Ashton Porter, by all accounts, played great in the Under Armour All-American Bowl or All-American game, not only in the game itself, but in the entire week leading up. A guy whose stock is rising. He commits to Oregon. He actually signed during the early signing period. They kept it quiet, and he announced his commitment at the Under Armour game. Dante Manning did that a few years ago and announced at the Under Armour game. Ashton Porter was already signed. However, they officially announce it. A big late addition for Oregon. They also got Terrence Green, a 4-star prospect. Johnny Bowens, they beat out Texas A&M for a 4-star defensive lineman in Johnny Bowens. Mikel Gardner is a 3-star defensive lineman out of Arizona. And Tavidi Palmi'i is out of a very tiny Layton Christian Academy school in Utah. And they take so much pride because they're a tiny school. They've never had a prospect. Never, ever, not even close. And they were so happy. It was anything you need, anything you want regarding our school. So I want to give them at Layton Christian Academy a huge shout because they were phenomenal and could not have been more proud of Tavita. That's a really good group. Mateo Uiagalelei, Amari Washington, 4-star, 300-pounder. Ashton Porter, 4-star, big body. Terrence Green, 4-star, big body. Johnny Bowens, 4-star, big body. Terrence Green, 6'5", 265. Johnny Bowens, 6'3", 265. Mikel Gardner, 6'2", 275. Tavita Pamii, 6'3", 315. Amari Washington, 6'4", 300. I mean, they're all big. And when you look at what Oregon had along the D-line the last few years, it's been Brandon Dorlus a push up the middle, Kayvon Thibodeau off the edge, or nothing. They just haven't produced. They haven't been able to get to the quarterback. They, you know, Oregon State exposed them in terms of toughness, stopping the run. I think Georgia, you know, kind of shone a light on that early, and it didn't come back to bite them for a while. This group is an immediate upgrade. At linebacker, they did late sign Blake Purchase. Deion Sanders made a huge run at him late. They pull him in. He's an edge. Titum Tui-Odi is a good, very good prospect out of Sheldon High School. He transferred from a school in Nebraska because his dad became a coach on staff at Oregon. He was a guarantee the second his dad got the job. He was the top prospect in Oregon and had a monster senior season. He was Defensive Player of the Year in the state of Oregon. Jerry Mixon, the cousin of Joe Mixon, a great athlete. He plays running back and linebacker for his high school, Sacred Heart Cathedral Prep. He's headed to Oregon. Obviously, he's got the genetics. We'll see how he develops as a linebacker, but you like him. And Jaden Moore, another good prospect. And then we get to the DBs before we head on over to Oregon State. It's a good group. It was looking like it was going to be an elite group because Peyton Bowen flipped from Notre Dame to Oregon during the early signing period, and a bit of a surprise. The number two safety in America would have been the highest rated safety in program history, but he flipped again and ends up heading to Oklahoma in where, again, that's where most people actually predicted him to flip. It was kind of a surprise he picked Oregon. But Peyton Bowen headed to Oklahoma would have been a nice piece. Again, five-star safety. Would have broken the record, I believe, for most five-star prospects in a single class from a school if they'd have pulled that out, at least tied it. But unable to do that for Oregon. So Oregon ends up just below that mark. They do flip Dalen Austin after losing Caleb Presley, who went to Washington. Frankly, I like that trade for Oregon. Cole Martin is the son of the DB coach at Oregon, or the corner coach at Oregon, Demetrius Martin. Again, as soon as he was hired, that was guaranteed. He's a top 150 prospect in the country. Cody DeCambra plays at Bishop Gorman. That's a top five high school football program in America. Cody DeCambra was an All-American selection. And if it opens up Bishop Gorman, a program Oregon has not been able to tap into, that would be absolutely huge. They rounded out with four-star safety Tyler Turner out of Texas and three-star corner Colin Gill out of the Washington, D.C. area. That DB group had a wild finish. Bowen's in. No, he's not. Dalen Austin's an addition late. Is he? Won't he be? And Oregon's still in it for Roderick Pleasant, a four-star corner out of California. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. So just a really fascinating finish for the Ducks. Overall, a lot of depth at DB, a lot of depth along the defensive line, an electric wide receiver, a pair of really complementary talented running backs, an athletic tight end, a top 10 quarterback, and an offensive line full of big bodies. In general, O-line, D-line, big, and at wide receiver, running back, Oregon looked to get high-level athletes, and when they could, ones that complemented each other. That's a recipe for success, generally speaking. Thought Dan Lanning did a great job. Oregon does end up with the highest-rated recruiting class in the Pac-12, at least so far. There's still room to go. There's still wiggle room for both Oregon and USC, so I'm not ready to call it yet. We'll have to wait to the late signing period, but Oregon could very well end up with the best recruiting class in the entire Pac-12. Pivoting to Oregon State, I've talked about Aiden Childs, number 11 quarterback in the country. When they got him, he was a three-star quarterback. Phenomenal get from Coach Smith. I watched his film and have been in touch with him for a long time, and I just really like him as a person. And I know Oregon State fan thinks I do not like Oregon State. That's not true. And it'll be hard not to watch Oregon State games with Aiden Childs in there and not root for him. He's a wonderful kid. His family, I should say young man. His family's phenomenal. He wants to win. He said he stayed loyal to Oregon State because they believed in him early. And Oregon made a run at him. And Washington made a run at him. And some other really big programs late made a run at him. By all accounts, he was the second best quarterback at the All-American Bowl. That's huge. Oregon's quarterback was there. Ohio State's quarterback was there. Louisville's quarterback was there. The only quarterback he wasn't better than that week and then in the game was Dante Moore. That's pretty good. By all accounts, his stock is rising. He will be a top 10 quarterback in America before it's all said and done, because there's one more ranking update to go, and his stock continues to rise. Oregon State didn't get a transfer running back. Guess what? They've got Damian Martinez. If I'm a senior in high school and I'm looking in the Oregon State backfield, I'm going, not many carries here the next couple years. Don't be shocked if they just don't add a couple of pieces that add to what Damian Martinez does, add some depth. They don't need to address running back at high school. This recruiting cycle, they have one of the top four or five freshmen in the country at running back. At wide receiver, a bunch of three-star guys that I like. Montrell Hatton, Tayston Reddix out of Texas and Florida, respectively. Zachary Card out of California. David Wells, who's a nasty slot receiver out of Washington. I like all four of those guys. They make sense together. They're talented. None of them are elite blue-chip guys. They're all good receivers. They all run pretty well. They're all pretty good route runners. I think probably one or two of them is going to pop and be pretty good. You know, Oregon State, again, does a great job at the tight end position. They've done that year in, year out. They had two of them. They had Thomas and Cooper Jensen. As things progressed, I think Oregon State kind of preferred Cooper Jensen, bigger frame, frankly, they could build on. He could be a blocker. He could be a downfield threat up the seam. They kind of locked in on him. Dorian headed to Arizona in a commitment that I think kind of was both ways. I think that was a mutual kind of split at that point. Great athlete. Wish him the best at Arizona. He's a good player. Cooper Jensen was the guy Oregon State locked in on. Going to be fascinating to see how that goes. Jacob Anderson and Xander Etze, a pair of developmental defensive linemen for Oregon State. One out of Montana, one out of California. They're both good. I like both of them. I'm not in love with either of them, but I'm done criticizing Coach Mahalchuk, because for the last few years, I've done this math where I'm like, hey, they only got, you know, one or two of the top 25 guys they offered along the offensive line. That's not going to cut it. And then we get to games and they have a top four offensive line in the Pac-12. So whether it's the portal or developing these guys, I'm sure Coach Mahalchuk will figure it out. So I'm done criticizing Oregon State along the offensive line until I see something else. If he sees a guy and likes him, great, that'll work. Along the defensive line, again, Kelsey Howard, the highest-rated high school prospect in program history on the defensive side of the ball for Oregon State. Big-time talent. They pull him out of California and just hang on to him the whole way. Top 200 player in the country. I think he's out of Nevada. It says California in this, but I don't think that's right. Nico Taylor, who kind of flew under the radar in terms of people being excited about Nico Taylor. Nico Taylor's the number one junior college edge rusher in America. And for some reason, that flew under the radar on signing day, where it was like, yeah, they got a good class, and there's Aiden Childs, and Kelsey Howard is great. Nico Taylor, again, the number one edge rusher in all of junior college football. He's a great talent. Thomas Collins is a three-star defensive lineman out of Sweden. I'm going to say this now, and I've had this said to me a number of times. People have said, watch out for Thomas Collins. He can play inside along a defensive line. And if he were here and not in Sweden for his full high school career, where everybody saw him, he had elite coaching from a young age, he'd be a top 10 defensive tackle in the country. And a lot of people feel that way. Thomas Collins is going to be the steal of this class. He's going to be a phenomenal get. They also picked up a good linebacking core in Leonard Ayu, Isaiah Chisholm, and Zakiah Saez. Zakiah Saez, or Saez, is the first recruit I've ever seen. I've seen it from him. I know this is right. His 24/7 sports profile is spelled wrong. His name is spelled wrong in the 24/7 sports profile. So I've had it brought to my attention that in every article I've ever mentioned him, hey, you spelled his name wrong again. No, 24/7 sports spelled his name wrong. I spelled his name right. You know how I know? Because I asked him, and his Twitter profile is spelled the way I spell his name. So we are right. Great group. Leonard Ayoub, really talented player out of Hawaii. Isaiah Chisholm just looks like the next kind of undersized linebacker who's going to end up with a multiple 100-tackle season. I asked him why Oregon State. You know, for him, he had a number of big-time offers, USC, and he said, I looked at their defense. I looked at the fact their inside linebackers get 100 tackles a season, and they said, this is what you can be for us, and that worked for me. At defensive back, I know Caleb Presley's a four-star corner. I know Josiah Wagner's a four-star corner out of Washington. Andre Piper Jordan Jr. is a three-star corner out of Washington. Andre Piper Jordan was the MVP of the 7-on-7 program he played for, ahead of Caleb Presley, ahead of some really talented kids. He is the most underrated prospect on the West Coast. I have him graded out as a solid, solid four-star prospect, a top 150 kid nationally. I think Andre Piper Jordan is going to be an all-conference, eventually, corner in the Pac-12. Not from day one. I think he develops into that. Oregon State, in my opinion, got themselves a steal. Great evaluation. I like him better than 3, 4, 5 All-American selections at corner this year. I love that kid. Jermod McCoy and Harlem Howard round out the defensive back group. That'll do it for Oregon State's class. Not a lot of star power in terms of elite talents. Aiden Child's a 4-star. Kelsey Howard's a 4-star. Outside of that, Nico Taylor, number one junior college edge rusher in the country. Andre Piper Jordan, absolute steal at corner. Physical, moves well, long, exactly what they like. And Thomas Collins, an interior defensive lineman. Oregon State has not been able to get those guys. They've been able to get them through transfer. They've never been able to get one and really hone him in and work with him for 4 years. That is going to be he's going to be a monster for them if he develops. Thomas Collins, Andre Piper Jordan, two of the biggest steals in the entire Pac-12, both bolstering Oregon State's defense. You want to know why this defense is so much better than its star ranking? Trent Bray is finding guys like that. I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing from Oregon State. We will get to the text line questions at 503-250-1080 next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sounds like we got some questions on the text line, 503-250-1080. Recruiting transfer portal, lay it on me, Buck.
Yeah, we do have a couple questions. This first one in says, hey, Nemec, which Pac-12 teams do you think are winning the transfer portal this offseason in terms of additions and subtractions?
Well, hello, Colorado. Coach Prime, as of this morning, now has the number one, according to 24/7 Sports, has the number one class in America from the transfer portal. This was a fun one. I actually tweeted this today. Colorado, at the time, the day he was hired, had the number 42 recruiting class in the country. And everybody knows about his, I think it was as many as 13 departures, but there were a double-digit departures in terms of decommitments from his program, from that recruiting class. So it dropped way down. It dropped to like 80-something at its low point. It finished number 22 in the country, and he's got the number one class in the country in the transfer portal. He's got a 5-star commitment from 2025 and a top 20 class already early in 2024. Colorado's doing a great job. I think USC is once again doing a phenomenal job, not only bolstering their receiving core, not only adding talent to the offensive line, but also bolstering that defense. And if they get that figured out, that would be huge. Frankly, the Pac-12 is killing it in the portal. You look at 24/7 Sports rankings, Colorado's 1. USC is 5. This is nationally. Arizona State is 6. UCLA is 7. Washington's 11. Oregon is 16. And you look at Oregon's haul, and you feel good about what Oregon's done. And then you go, there are five or six programs in the Pac-12 better than what Oregon's doing? It's phenomenal what the Pac-12's been able to do. With all the quarterbacks coming back, I do wonder if that helps. Because you're looking at these programs going, hey, we've got a quarterback. We've got pieces. Come play with us. We will win games. And I think the Pac-12's going to be much more competitive. I think the portal, frankly, thus far, has helped the Pac-12 way more than it's hurt it. And I think some really good things are on the horizon for the conference.
A couple more for you from the text line. This one says, hey, Andrew, aren't we like 8 or 9 scholarships currently over the 85 scholarship limit? Are we still trying to add any word on who might be leaving? I'm guessing that's in reference to Oregon.
Yeah, I would think so. Listen, this happens every time, and I've talked to coaches about this and be like, hey, you're 5 over. And they go, don't talk to us about scholarship numbers right now. Guys leave before spring. I would imagine just in general, Oregon will have a couple more leave. And then there's always departures, whether it's medical retirements, unfortunately, or just guys leaving after spring. They get to spring practice. They think, I'm the starter this year for sure. Freshman comes in, a transfer comes in, and they want out. Do not ever count numbers. I think I was at a stretch at one point where one of the programs in the Pac-12 that I talked to was double-digit guys over like a week before the start of spring practice. They ended up with 4 open spots by the end of spring practice. Medical retirements, transfers, high school guys saying, I'm not coming after all. Things change in a hurry. Don't worry about it. In terms of potential prospects for Oregon, there's a couple big names out there. Deuce Robinson's the number one tight end in the country. I don't think it's happening. You know, Georgia's in the mix for him. USC's in the mix for him. But Oregon is trying to get a visit for him. He's a 5-star tight end. And you look at what Brock Bowers is doing for Georgia, and he's, you know, probably not Brock Bowers because I think Brock Bowers is transcendent, but in terms of ranking, he's right there as a tight end, as an elite game-changing, game-wrecking tight end. So he's one to watch. Oregon's also recently made the top handful of schools for Roderick Pleasant, who is arguably the fastest high school kid in the country. I believe he broke the California state record in the 100 and 200 last spring as a junior. So he's an unbelievable speedster who would help the track team tremendously. That has to help Oregon, and that is something to watch late. He's a top 10 corner in America.
And then the final one on the text line says, Nemec, where do you think Jason Brown and Braden Platt will end up?
Oh man, that's so tough. Jason Brown is predicted right now. By the way, Jason Brown was going to be on the show tonight. He was my guest for tonight, and I pivoted because I realized we had so much signing day stuff to do. So we'll have him on. He agreed to come on either next week or the week after. I think there's Martin Luther King Jr. Day here is next week, so I don't know if we have a show next week or if we're pivoting to Thursday, but he will be a guest here this month for certain. I know the predictions are all are in for Washington. He loves the program at Washington. He's going to have a ton of offers. I think it's wide open right now. Number two running back in America. And Braden Platt's a tough one only because he is such an elite thrower. And I think that opens up a lot for him in terms of where he could go. He wants to be an Olympic thrower and an NFL player at the end of his career. He could do it. It's possible. He's an unbelievable talent. Again, I think it's just too early with that many factors early on. Oregon's got a shot because of their track program. If I had to guess right now, I'd say Oregon has a much better shot with Braden Platt than they do with Jason Brown. If you're asking from an Oregon standpoint, I think Washington really, truly does have a shot at Jason Brown. They've done a great job developing that relationship. He does have really strong home roots. He does have a desire to kind of help the home state school. If a program like Georgia or Alabama goes all in, and I know they've offered, but if they go all in and say, you are our guy, over time, will that wear on him where he's like, I wouldn't mind getting away from home? I think it's possible. So I think it's way too early with Jason Brown and Braden Platt. Look for places that are going to do both because he's going to be both a great track and a great football athlete.
And that is all from the text line, sir.
Perfect. Dude, I don't know about you, but this national championship game seems to be the biggest statement I've seen in a long time.
Victory formation, just for people who maybe if they're in their cars or aren't following on the television, Georgia was able to pull their starting quarterback with 13:25 left to play in the fourth quarter, called a timeout to get him off the field so he could get his ovation, and they're about to win the national championship 65-7.
Yeah, and I saw an article today from Chris Hummer of, I believe he's 24/7, Let me check. 24/7 Sports. And he said every national title game participant since 2002 has had at least one top 13 recruiting class as the foundation of its roster. TCU's four-year average is 32nd. They are challenging everything we assume to be true about what's required to compete for national titles. No, they're not, as it turns out, unfortunately for him. You can make the game, but apparently you can't compete. So far, every team that's ever competed in any real way for a national title has had at least one recruiting class in the top 13. On a player-to-player basis, some five-stars pan out, some three-stars, you know, or some five-stars are great, some end up being terrible. Some three-stars end up being Heisman Trophy winners, some don't pan out. But overwhelmingly, across every national championship game we've ever seen, including this one, you have to have a top 13 recruiting class as the foundation of what you're doing to have a real shot at winning a national title. TCU was the biggest outlier we ever had, and they just lost as badly as anyone ever has in the national title game. Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan is officially back. Sometimes we'll be Mondays, sometimes we'll be Thursdays. I will write articles with the podcasts in them so you can find them if you don't listen to them live. Thank you for listening, Buck. Thanks for producing.
You got it, man.
And as always, audience, appreciate you.
This has been Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, the show for recruiting fans. Check out Andrew's work at scorebooklive.com and join us each week for Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!